Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Hello, everybody. You'll be welcome to this show twice. And the first time is just a side note to let you know, let's follow the if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I've tried to make a video recording of this interview, and unfortunately the video just didn't work and it got totally destroyed. So you will hear us making references with Lady Tamara about her work in studio, photos about the book, and unfortunately we don't have those. I will post some photos on the Lunatic Mondays page so you can see them. And of course, the audio is impeccable. So we invite you to join us on listening to Lady Tamara on this interview here on Lunatic Mondays. Thank you. Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSNP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, obviously by the favor of Circle Sanctuary. And tonight we have a wonderful show. We have Lady Tamara Bonforslon, and she has dedicated over 5 decades to study and teaching Wicca and witchcraft, lecturing at universities worldwide, teaching hundreds of Wiccans, and appearing on dozens of documentaries, TV shows, and radio broadcasts. Tamara was the first person to confront the establishment by changing the laws for Wiccans in Australia and having Wicca accepted as a religion. And she founded the first legal neo-pagan church, the Church of Wicca, in 1989. Tonight, she's on our show talking about her newest book, Pagan and Witch Elders of the World, Past and Present. And I'm also extremely happy to call her my friend. So, Lady Tamara, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, my darling. I miss you so much, sweetheart. I hope you're doing well and staying safe and well and keeping away from all those crazy people over there.
I'm staying hiding, mostly. I've been staying home because, well, COVID has been a thing in most of the world, except you are in heaven. You are in Australia, and it's so far, knock on wood, being contained there, right? Is that what happened?
Yes, that's true. We were lucky enough that when it first started, our Prime Minister shut down our borders, shut down Australia, closed everything down, and we got on top of it. Yes, it's taken many months, but we now have no cases. We have no new cases in the whole of Australia. We've just opened up all our state borders so that way everybody can visit for Christmas and Yule and see their family and friends. Because some people, like over there, they haven't visited their family and friends. And the laws here are very different to over there. Over here, if you are caught without a face mask, you get fined. If you're caught without this or not distancing, you get fined. So the thing is, that's pretty strict, but it saved our lives. And I'm so happy. And yet, like you, all my friends in America, I feel so sad when I hear of so many things that are going wrong over there with COVID. It's just sad. But I believe that it's the Great Mother who's told us all that we're naughty, and she sent us to our rooms to think about world and think about life. So that's what we need to do, have this time of contemplation.
You know, I have been, first of all, I want to say thank you for being on the show once again. And for those who are able to be watching this on a video, this is, obviously, I have this opportunity to record when I'm doing a pre-interview. And yes, I'm going to let them in the secret a little bit. It is 2:30 in the morning here in Chicago. And when I tell you all that I'm a night person, this is what I'm talking about. It's 2:30 and I'm recording Lady Tamara, what time is it in at home for you?
It's about 6:30 p.m., but I live in a remote Australian tropical Queensland, and I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So when you're just going to bed, I'm just waking up because I have a farm and animals to deal with and look after. But it's starting to get very hot here because it's tropical. We're coming into the wet season. So it's very hot where you're getting cold there, I think, aren't you?
Yes, it's getting cold here in Chicago, and it's precisely been a little, it's been unseasonably, whatever the word is, abnormal, warm. It's been too warm here. We had the very first snow a few weeks ago, and, you know, it's just been warm. It's just been not normal. And as you said earlier with COVID, it makes us, you know, stop and reflect and think about things. And I have been saying that this is a new birthing, that we're birthing a new world, you know. It's just, it's too much, and everything that has made us stop and reflect, it is just reflecting on everything.
And that's correct. And I believe we needed this because it is humanity suffering, not just English or Chinese or Americans or whatever. It is humanity. And as humans, we need to come together. And that's why I say maybe the goddess made this happen so we could reflect, think about things, and start bringing our humanity back together and honor the differences. You know, we should honor the differences.
We should, and we should take a little break. I don't think, you know, I don't think that people will go back to the way things were, where everybody was working and going to office and driving. And, you know, now that we have proved that a lot of people can work from home, maybe that should be the norm. You know, maybe we should be more cautious about hugging and touching and kissing. And, you know, I think some things will, some changes are here to stay. Don't you think so?
I think it's a good idea. We do need change. And there's nothing wrong with social distancing. I mean, there's the big, what about masks? Should we wear masks? Shouldn't we wear masks? But I've always believed that if you're sick, and even with the flu, if you're coughing and spluttering, wear a face mask for the protection of other people, not about COVID, but just in general. It's good health. And to wash our hands, I think humanity has become cleaner in washing our hands and stop the spreading of germs and diseases besides COVID. And I think that's very, very important for us to keep that trend, because let's face it, humans are not very clean most of the time. We forget about things like that. We touch our face so many times in a day. Oh.
It is too much. Yes, it is too much. And I know you use humor a lot, and that's how we connected, you and I, through humor. And I know you're saying it tongue in cheek, you know, that the great mother is sending us to have a timeout. But I, my opinion, my personal opinion is that it's not necessarily that, you know, we've been punished by the goddess, but I think we really are invited to look at the things we do and how we're doing things by the divine, to change certain ways, you know, like these wet markets probably shouldn't be existing. Maybe we should be more conscientious about how we produce meat and how we treat the earth. You know, it's just, we've been too careless for too long.
That's for sure. We are parasites, and we just take and take and take, and we don't think of the consequences until it's too late. And the problem is that the more we take, the less there is for the next generation and the next generation, until eventually we won't have a classroom anymore to learn from, because we won't have anything. And we are destroying the earth. It doesn't matter about this conflict of there's no such thing as global warming. There is global warming. There is this, there isn't that. It's about looking and confronting nature, looking at nature, because nature's our teacher. We just need to watch, look, listen, and learn. And as my grandmother always said, shut up. We need to shut up.
We do indeed. The great mother, the divine, that what makes us exist.
Yes.
What is her name? How do you call her?
In traditional Boscénan witchcraft, which is very old, we do not give the goddess a name, in the respect that if we see the great mother or the great divine feminine, then what we're doing is we're encompassing all aspects of the goddess. But if we focus on one aspect of the goddess and dedicate to her, then we are only focusing on a portion or a microcosm of the entirety of what the great mother is. So why not in our minds honor the great feminine, the great mother, the divine feminine as the all goddess? And we could still have times when we could say, well, Hecate is my goddess, or Aphrodite is my goddess, or Aradi, or whatever. But we need to empower the goddess more by not focusing on the microcosmic aspect of one name of the goddess, but the macrocosmic aspect of the entire goddess of the planet. And then we will be more empowered, more free, and then we can let the gaggle of goddesses all come loose and all dance and sing and play and be merry.
That is a wonderful concept. And hearing it from your lips, you know, it makes more sense now when you decided to leave some blank cards on,
yes,
on the oracles. For those who live under a rock and didn't listen to our last show, this came out earlier this year. Oracles of the Divine Feminine Goddess of the 10,000 Names, and illustrated by Anik and Nanashi. And it's a wonderful collection of your cards. And you've been sharing some of these oracle cards on your social media, because yes, she's very active on social media. You add a follower. And then you're sharing also your quote of the day. How hard has been kind of like going in and out of this COVID conversation? It's been good to see you so active on social media, and it's been good. It's been awesome to see your quote of the day. I really appreciate those. But how hard or how easy or how helpful has been for you to be sharing this? Because we need it. You're not in quarantine, but we are. So it's been helping us a lot.
That's why. That's why I've been doing it, because the clan of Boscénan, or our tribe of the Crow, is international and worldwide. We've got people all over the place. And and our lovely new priestess. And the thing is that, yeah, we're not in quarantine here, but there's so many people that I just wanted with my quote for the day, because I always do them, and then people just love them and just think, oh, well, that touches us. It makes us feel connected a little bit to something silly, perky, real, genuine, heartfelt, whatever. And then I just like doing that. And then with my sanctuary, my Fae sanctuary, I share all the statues and the sculptures and the carvings as well of the sanctuary, where there's hundreds. And some of them range from 10 inches small up to 20 feet tall. So they're huge, and they could be stone, clay, steel, metal, wood, whatever they are, they're everything. But the thing is that I've been more and more on social media. When I started, I didn't know what to do. I still don't know what to do, because I'm not very clever when it comes with all what I call modern magic. This technical stuff is what I call modern witchcraft. And I'm an old witch. I like the old stuff. I'm not used to all this. But I find that it's a great way to connect with people that would never be able to connect with me personally. And when I started my first page, I got to 5,000 members, and I went, oh my God, I can't fit any more people. So I better open up another page. And then I got 5,000 members on that one. And then I started another one. I got another 5,000. And I thought, I don't need all these as friends. I just need them to follow me. And I didn't realize that at first. If I'd asked you or asked somebody else, they would have told me. And I could have just had the one page with everything on there, and it would have been fine. But I'm just glad that I'm reaching out to people. And I've got so many people reaching out to me now. I get up at 4 a.m. and for the first 2 hours, I'm answering emails, messages, and everything like that. Then I go to work for a few hours on the farm, Then I come home and I write all day until 5 p.m. And this behind me is my altar to the gods and to writing. So this is where I sit and my life is.
And there is a wonderful story about the altar and your writing sanctuary. And I love that you tap into social media and the internet and communications being modern magic, because for 10 years I've been doing it. And there is somewhere in my head a workshop that is called The Magic of Facebook. I haven't been able to teach it yet because I haven't been able to actually put it together, but it's here in my head. And I truly believe that there is magic. I mean, Facebook is Facebook particularly. I mean, there's other media, but Facebook particularly is an entity in and of itself. It's a world. It's a world. And we are, a lot of us are part of that world. And there's a lot of magic in there. So I'm so glad that you tap on that. And also that you mentioned your writing space, because we are going to talk a little bit more about the writing space. And we're going to talk about this wonderful new book. And I have to come clean, because I have just said we just had the first snow a couple of weeks ago, because I'm thinking this show is going to air within a couple of weeks. And I just remember today in the future, Lady Tamara, today is January 11th. Today is January 11th. So don't tell them when we record it. We're not going to tell them when we are recording.
See, that's real magic.
But today is January 11th. And hopefully things have evolved and changed. And while I let you all pondering there, like, what is going on with it, that we're working with magic and time here? We're going to take a break, because believe it or not, the first few minutes have flown by. So we're going to take a little break. Don't go anywhere. We're coming back with more here on Lunatic Monday.
Bridget and her sisters dwell. Bring your worries and your concerns to the healing waters and the fire that burns. Let it all go, let it all go. Surrender your heart for the goddess to unfold. Where saint and goddess share the name of Bridget, blessing our sons and daughters by the fire that burns and the healing waters. Let it all go, let it all go. Surrender your heart for the goddess to unfold. Your way to the sacred well, where Bridget sisters dwell. Bring your worries and your concerns to the healing waters and the fire that burns. Let it all go, let it all go. Surrender your heart for the goddess to unfold.
You are listening to Lunatic Mondays, building bridges of community around the world. We'll continue with more. Don't go anywhere. And we're back here on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSN Podcast, the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And I always say the first because I have to remind you, there is a second show that is bilingual, Paganos del Mundo, Pagans of the World, Pagaos do Mundo, that is transmitted on Spanish and Portuguese. And of course, we have Lunatic Mondays on Spanish and English. And we have Selena Fox doing two shows on Sundays and on Wednesdays, Nature Mystic and Nature Spirituality. And we also have Circle Talk with Deborah Rose twice a month on Tuesdays. And we have Moon Magic twice a month on Thursdays. So please follow us on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. We are on Stitcher, we are on Spotify, we are on iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can follow us, you can download, you can listen, and sometimes, like today, you can watch. So it is amazing to have all this technology at our fingertips. And Tamara, we're back here. And for those who are watching, they're going to get the treat because you were telling me the wonderful stories about all the things behind you. And for those who are not watching, you better go and watch it on the CSMP page or on YouTube. But Lady Tamara, you have some wonderful things behind you, that wonderful collection. Tell us a little bit about your sanctuary.
The sanctuary?
The writing sanctuary behind you. My altar.
Yeah. My altar is a collection of ancient things and old things that I've collected over the years. In the center, above the top, is my grandmother's drum, and it's her healing drum, which has been what she's used for quite a long time. For a long time. She's been gone now for a few years. Either side are the Bacchus urns. These Bacchus urns are from the temples of Bacchus. They're about 2,000 years old, so they're quite amazing. In the center is a very ancient shamanic tribal mask that was made by my ancestors. And it is between a rabbit, a deer, a buck, and all those sorts of things. And it is the symbol of our spirituality of Boskedenen, where we have the horns, which is represented by the ears, the stag, and then in the center we have the stag horn, and usually we have a red candle in the center representing the red light to go between the worlds. And that mask is very old, but hanging from that mask is some sacred amber beads, some prayer beads necklace that were given to me by His Holiness the Dalai Lama as a gift, where he said that he bestowed them to me from one teacher to another. And he also jokingly called me the Vicar of Wicca. And that was his fun little way of doing it, his quirky accent. But I don't know what else I've got behind me. On the sides of the walls, the axe, the traditional axe, and on the other side, Obigom Gles, is the goddess. They are from the 17th century, from my family line. So they're quite old as well. And there's a big ceremonial shield and staffs and scepters and all that sort of thing. So I do collect a lot of artifacts, and most of my artifacts will be going to the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft and Magic, which is run by my beautiful dear friend Tony. And some of my things that were from Cornwall, from my grandmother, from the old times, will be going back to the Museum of Witchcraft in Cornwall as well, for Simon and the collection there.
And not only you are a wonderful writer and teacher and the Vicar of Wicca and the Witch of Oz and all of these beautiful words that people have used to describe you, but you're also a wonderful researcher, and you like to have things archive and to have records of things, and you're very involved with the Buckland Museum, obviously. And then you have this brilliant idea of the book, Pagan and the Witch Elders of the World, Past and Present. What a great idea. And of course, with our dearest Raymond Buckland on the cover, what inspired you? I mean, this seems like the stupidest question in the world, but what did inspire you to write this book, other than the wonderful people in it?
The honest truth is that I have been lucky enough to travel the world, to teach, to share my words, whether people wanted to listen to me or not. But I wanted to share my path, my tradition with people as much as I can. And through those travels, I've met so many incredibly amazing people, you know, Stuart Farrar, Raymond Buckland, and people like that, you know, Pete Pathfinder from the ATC Church, and Velvet Wreath, High Priestess from New Orleans. There's so many people that I've met. And then every time I had a trip to America, I found that some of them had been passed. Some of them had gone and left this mortal world. And it saddened me so much, because then when I'll talk to people and say, oh, it's so sad that such and such has gone, they go, who's that? And I'd go, wow, you know, they are the elder. They are one of our teachers. And I felt it so sad, and that a lot of the new young people coming into it have heard about the elders and some of the special people, but they don't know them or don't know much about them, because there's so much out there about these people. But some of these people, some of these elders, people don't know, because they're behind the scenes. They're not big figures like myself or like Raymond Buckland. You know, there's a lot of people that do all the hard work, clearing the forest, making the path for the new seekers to find their truth. And they've worked hard for it, no matter what bullshit or ego or people say that they may have, because everyone's got an ego. But the fact is that get rid of that, and these people have done something incredibly special for our pagan world and to bring it out to the truth. And I wanted to do something to honor them, to dedicate my life to that, and let people realize that there's these people have worked their butts off to create the world and the luckiness that you've got today, or else you wouldn't have the freedom that we have, because if they weren't there fighting, you wouldn't have it. But then I also look at people like yourself, Laura, and like friends of mine that are between 30 and 40 and 50 years of age, that are starting the new path, that are taking over where us as elders have started. But you now, with the modern witchcraft or technology, as you call it, can take this to the next level, to reach people in a different line-like, and bring our pagan world close together from across the miles. Even though we're thousands of kilometers away, we're still connecting, and we've become good friends. And I love that friendship. I love that bond as sisters. And to have my book, to bring it out there, to honor these people, is very, very important to me. This is my pride and joy. And I just hope that people love it and buy it and honor it as much as I can, and honor the elders, and even honor people like yourself that I call elderlings. And they are the elders of the future that will take off from where we left off. Because a lot of people in my age group, we've all got one foot in the grave. We haven't got a lot of energy left to keep fighting, but we will until we go. Oberon Zell, he's another one that's a fighter, and he keeps going and going and going. And he's as broke as anything. He never has a brass razoo, but he keeps fighting and plodding on, and he's a real spiritual warrior for the pagan world, same as Selena Fox. You know, these people are our elders, and they need to be appreciated and respected, remembered. But now while they're alive, honor them, give them a big hug, and just say thank you. Don't wait until they're gone saying, oh, I remember this, I remember that. Honor them now. Let their final years be honored, and let them go with respect and dignity.
And thank you so much for those wonderful words, because when I started doing this show 5 years ago, I had no clue that it was going to be, first of all, 5 years or whatever many years in the future. But then at one point, you know, it dawned on me that, wait a minute, we have to get all these interviews, and they have to be recorded, and we have to get the voices. And I personally, I think I've told you this, and I tell my listeners quite often, I learn from listening. I'm a hearing learner. I'm not a reading learner. It takes a lot of time for me to comprehend what I'm reading. But if I hear it from the teacher, it's there and it's never going to go anywhere. And the joke, which is very true, is I interview everybody because I want to learn, and I keep learning from y'all. But it's also a tribute, you know, and it's also to give you the forum, the space, the respect, the magic, the technology to be present, and then to stay present forever, because once these things go on the internet, they stay there forever. But to have it in a book, to have it on writing, I think is wonderful. It's such a great idea. And can you tell us a little bit about the process? How was the process to get, for example, the information of those who have passed, or, you know, the true elders? Some are gone. So what was that process like? I'm just very curious about it.
The funny thing about doing this and starting this journey was that I started talking to those that were alive and asking them if they were interested in being in my book, that I wanted to honor elders and put it all together. And the majority were very helpful, you know, and they were very upfront and giving, and they sent me their information. They sent me their information, but I also done more information to check and do things like that. I also wanted fresh photos. I wanted nice photos of people. And that was great. And then checking on people of the past. I mean, some of the elders in my past go back hundreds of years, just to give people a bit of a clue. Some of them that people think were witches were not witches, but I honor them because they might have been the first person in that country to have died because of being called a witch. So I just honor that as the beginning of a nasty time. But then people like Stuart Farrar, of course, he passed. He left this world in 2000. So the first person to contact would be Janet Farrar and Gavin Bond. So I spoke to them, and I got them in my book as well. And I just got information and started the journey. The sad thing was, as I sent out emails and feelers and contacts to everybody for those that I hadn't met, and some of them never replied. Some of them didn't want to know, didn't want me to put anything about them, because I think because in the past, sometimes people have taken people's biographies and written negative things. This book omits all the crap that's out there about people. It's about the positive aspect of what they did to create the path for seekers and the journey ahead. And that's what it's about, a bit about their childhood, their lives, and where they're going. And I love this. And the photo on the back of the book is actually, which is very hard to see, can you see that? That is my great grandparents. So they're on the back of the book as an honor to them. Yeah. From that tradition. But I love the book. I mean, I've got over 500 elders around the world mentioned from every country and land, even countries that don't speak English. And I've got only about 200 that are in detail. And with them, I've got their birthdays with most of them, dates of death if they've passed on. And also if they're involved in organizations, then people can contact them. And I've also, if they've written books, I've also mentioned those in the book as well. So people, if they connect to that elder, they want to read something about that book from that elder, they can do that as well.
That is such a wonderful journey and a way to honor. And I think honoring the ancestors is something that is very near and dear to our pagan world. And some people like to do it all year round, right? There are some religions and there are some traditions that, you know, they work with the ancestors all the time. And I particularly, being Mexican, you know, I like to reserve the Day of the Dead to honor the ancestors. Not that I don't honor their teachings every day, but, you know, it's different. It's a different experience for every person and every religion. So I think that this is a wonderful compilation to precisely do that, you know, maybe open the book, once a week and let me learn about this elder today and what they did and like, oh, this is what so-and-so was talking about it. And it's also a great material for reference, right? If somebody's...
Exactly. Especially schools, universities, if they want to learn about certain aspects, you know, who started Wicca? What was the first legal Wiccan church or pagan church? You know, and there's so much information, but they're in dribs and drabs to have everything put into a book where people can go then, and even if they're in libraries or universities, people can go and research by using this as a good thing as well. So
it is wonderful. And what was the youngest person in the book? How old do you think is the youngest person that you mentioned in the book?
I think the youngest person is 34, and they are an elderling. And they live in New Orleans, and they are doing their bit down there to educate and teach people Wicca from their perspective as an Alexandrian high priest at their age. And they're an elderling, and they're quite beautiful. They're quite beautiful. And the other one is a very good friend of mine, one of my students that I have taught, that I initiated 20 years ago. And he now, I remember his name is Adam Barillet, and he's an author of crystals, oils, and things like that. And when he first came into one of my shops, he was only a schoolboy teenager asking about a crystal. And he got his first crystal from my shop, and now he's a pagan or Wiccan priest of the Church of Wicca and of the clan of Boscednon, and he is espousing and teaching people all over the world with his books. And he's an elderling, but eventually I believe he will take over the clan of Boscednon from me, because he has that devout heart energy and connection to the ancestors, the spirits, and to the old ways.
There is a wonderful thing that is happening, and I don't know if you're looking at it, and it's not that I'm trying to bait people that is not watching to come and find the video and watch it, but sometimes when you're talking, the light just goes on and off, and I'm like, man, they are by you. Those who are gone, they're probably like, oh, well, she's talking about us. Let's go and eardrop.
That's true. I've got several altars throughout my house that are all specialized. I have my shrine to my family ancestors, which is very beautiful as well. And that's exceptional. But I keep that's private, as well as my other ones are all private as well.
By the way, thank you for letting us take a little peek into your world and for saying yes to record the video, because this is also a wonderful experience. Whom are some of your, of course, Raymond Buckland, but tell us about some of the elders that you, top of your head, that you remember by name, that, you know, you spend time, like you say, put in a little extra information or a little extra effort to refer to them.
About, I don't know how long now, in the 80s, 30, 40 years ago, I was in a documentary, The Occult Experience. And in that was also Selena Fox. And both of us were very young then and beautiful. And I always wanted to meet Selena Fox, but I never got to meet Selena Fox until only 2019. The first time I'd ever met her, because we were always so busy. She was busy with what she was doing. I was busy with mine. We're always at different ends of the earth. And we never got to meet until she invited me to come and do as a guest at PSG. And and of course, that's where I met a lot of people. Another person that I loved more than anything was somebody that helped me, because when I founded and started the Church of Wicca in Australia to open it up to the public, we grew so fast, not just by dozens, but by hundreds. We had people coming from the opposite ends of the country, families coming to learn and study. And it grew so fast, but I didn't have the training priesthood to help me. And it became too much for me. And one of the most incredible people that helped me, that told me to slow down, was a gentleman named Pete Pathfinder Davis, who was the founder and creator of the Aquarian Tabernacle Church up in Washington State. And I got to meet him several times, and then he helped me. I then affiliated with him and I became an ordained priest with them. And we ended up calling the Church of Wicca, and I became the Archpriestess of the ATC here in Australia. He was an exciting man. Of course, he's passed on now too. He passed in 2014, I think it was. But two of the other people that I met was in 1970s, when I was still young, a teenager. I wanted to try and connect with somebody, and I'd heard about the Fellowship of Isis. So I contacted them as a teenager, as a child, and wrote to these people in Ireland at Clonegal Castle, to Lady Olivia and to Lord Lawrence, and was accepted in the 1970s, just 2 years after they started their foundation. I was one of the first members that joined with them. And then I wanted to know more, and I started writing for them and helping them as well, as they were helping me. And then I went over there and was ordained as a priestess over there as well in the late 70s. And meeting them at a real castle in Ireland and going down into the dungeons for the ceremonies, it was also incredibly fascinating. And Lady Olivia was like me. She had a crazy sense of humor, always laughing and joking. And Lord Lawrence was always very much the passionate, devoted devotee of the goddess, and he was so incredible. But it was an experience that I had. I've had a lot of wonderful people, but it was exciting to meet different people from different walks of life, like a voodoo priestess from New Orleans when I went over there to be with Raymond Buckland there, and also Velvet Wreath, who now also has passed away. There's so many people. Stuart Farrar was an amazing person, but none can go past, you know, the father of American witchcraft, my dear friend Raymond Buckland, you know, and he was a good friend. And then when Tony Rotunda from the Buckland Museum rang me and said that he had passed, I was just devastated. I couldn't get over there in time to come and be a part of it, but it was just horrific. And that's what the book inspired me. All these people were going, they were all being lost, and I didn't want that. I wanted there to be something forever for people to have as a legacy.
And thanks to you, they will be lost no more. We will have them at our fingertips. And this book has been, we're not gonna tell them when we're recording, but this book has been out there for quite a few weeks now.
Only 4 weeks, but it's already sold out in many places. and it's absolutely walking off the shelves. Amazon is just selling over and over and over and over, going crazy. But I would like people to support the Buckland Museum, to buy my oracle decks and this book from them, to support them. And I've got my books being sold at a couple of shops in America as well. Support your local people. I know Amazon are always cheaper, but then support your people. You know, we're in lockdown over there. Support the businesses there, because Buckland Museum's shutting down. They're not getting any people through. So by going online, buying their things online, you can support them. The same as Boswell Castle in Cornwall in England. They're shut down. They're in lockdown as well. Support them, people. Go on their website, buy something from there, and support them to help keep them going. Because if we don't support them financially, just a dollar from each person, we will not have them anymore. They will go under. This pandemic is destroying businesses all over the place. Let us as pagans help our pagan businesses.
That is really important that you say that. And we always try to think of ways, you know, to help the community. And sometimes people also say, you know, how can we have community events? We need the venues, right? We need the venues that can held an event with an author, with a teacher, with a person that worked with crystals or whatever. Well, to do those events, we need the venues. To have the venues need revenue. So yes, if we will be on the other side of COVID eventually, God has blessed us. And we will need those venues again, because we will get together again. So it's really important that we support our local venues. And I am not saying don't buy on Amazon. You do you, boo, and you do whatever you need to do. I go to Amazon's for things that are really hard to get sometimes, you know, and that Amazon has them. But, you know, if you can buy local, if you can go to your local witchy shop, library, or whatever, and get the books there, and get the oracles for the love of the goddess. I mean, this is a wonderful tool.
You can only buy them. You cannot buy them anywhere, because they're limited edition, 10,000 copies. And they're only sold at the Buckland Museum. And they're only sold at Witch Lab, which is a shop. And of course, if there's anybody else that's interested in selling them, if they're pagan, then contact me and I will send it to them. And all my books I send with autographs, so they're all signed as stickers as well. And that way people can have a little bit of me. But there you go. But the one thing I really want to mention is that what people don't realize is that for over my 50 years, I have collected tens of thousands of books. I have over 50,000 spiritual pagan books in my own personal life, but they're inside shipping containers. And what I'm going to do is I'm donating those and creating a pagan international world library. And I have a sister friend of mine in America, Melissa Anderson, and she is going to assist me, and we're going to start up a huge donation pagan library over there. We've got one here. I'm going to start up another one in Europe as well, so we can keep all our pagan books protected and together and create them. So if people have got books at all that they want to donate or whatever, please either send them to Laura and Laura can send them on, you know, onto others. But we need to get a big collection before we lose all these books and lose the knowledge.
Yes, it's so needed. And I love that about you, that you're so thinking ahead of the game and thinking of the future. And thank you for doing this show as well, because, you know, this is part of the legacy that we will see in the future. And on a very personal note, I have to say, thank you so much for including me on your book.
My little elderling.
I was floored. I have to share with the audience. When you reach out to me and you say you want to be in my book, I need your biography, I need your photo. And I'm like, I just went sideways, like, you know. So when I came back, I was like, of course, absolutely. It is such a great honor. You give me too much. And I know it's all out of love. And I want you to know you're 100, 1,000,000, 1,000% reciprocated. I love you very dearly. You're amazing. And I'm very thankful that I got to meet you, you know, in 2019. And for you to be on the show, of course, other than buying the books through the museums and you concentrating on this book particularly right now, what is on your plans for next year, whenever COVID is over and you can travel the world again? Do you have any plans yet, or is everything kind of like, tell us.
Selena has invited me to come back again to PSG. So maybe if next year's safe, then I'll be back then. Because also the Buckland Museum want me to go there, because I'm actually going to do a ritual and a ceremony at the Buckland Museum when I come there as well. But I'm also starting on my second book of pagan and witch elders to start including a lot of other people that I never put in there and get that going as well. I've also written a full book, which is, I'm not publishing it yet, but it will be probably the beginning of next year. And it is on Boskenan witchcraft, traditional witchcraft, the old stuff, not Wicca. And it is a big book with lots of stuff in there to help people understand the difference between what old traditional witchcraft is and what new Wicca is, because they're very, very different. I was never going to do it, but I decided it's time that we need to do it, because if I died tomorrow, at least my knowledge and that would be out there, and that's what I want as much as I possibly can. So, and I'm hoping to go to the castle in to the museum in England and visit there as well. So me and Tony Rotunda, we're looking at me coming there, doing a tour, a couple of places in America, then going to England, Italy, doing rituals there, then going on to England, then going to stay with Janet Farrar, hopefully in Ireland, then go to Egypt and take her to Egypt because she hasn't been, and then bring her to Australia and do a full world trip, world tour, if COVID will let us. If not next year, then the year later, because I'm not going anywhere.
I was just going to say, you're not going anywhere. We're going to keep you here with our love. And then plus you're strong and beautiful and amazing. And unfortunately, our time just flies. It really does fly when you're having fun. And every time I'm with you, I just feel at home and the time just slips through my fingers. But I want to say again, thank you so much for thank you so much for being you, for all the wonderful things that we have shared. I'm not going to keep repeating. And thank you for being on the show. And I want to leave you the microphones so you can say goodnight to your audience tonight.
Thank you, my darling Laura. Thank you very much. And personally, I just want to congratulate you on your ordination too with Circle Sanctuary with Selena Fox. It was a big honor to you, but you are a priestess of the community, and I hope people honor you in that respect as well. I'd also like to thank you for welcoming me back into America through this magic technology of witchcraft of the future. And I'm always, always feeling honored when I get to talk to people and share. And I just want to thank everybody for listening to this silly old bush witch from Australia, from down under. And hopefully, if I come to America or go to PSG, please, if I'm there and you're there, come and say hello. Give me a big hug, because I love hugs. You know, forget the distancing. I'll be right. Just come and give me a big hug, because I love everybody. Thank you very much, my darlings. I hope you all stay very safe and well. And I see that big blue bubble over your country of healing light, that everything can get back on track for all of you. Blessed be. Love you deeply. Love you.
Blessed be, everybody. Those are the words of Lady Tamara. And from me, just to say, never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.